Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian, hey, hold on.
Wanted to check that, make sure that the thing, I didn't check it before we got started, the thing that makes your voice very loud.
Does it look?
It's good. We're good.
Okay.
We're good. This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian, hey, Dad, and Robbie Falk here with you on a Monday morning. Thanks for joining us here at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from.
Can we get some bigger cups in here? I mean, this is a shot glass.
Those cups are huge.
There's actually smaller cups.
Like a 3-inch cup. That's a big cup.
These are the big cups.
Yeah.
There's actual shot glasses in there. Look like what they used to get
here. I got to go with my trash here, but that's why I do this. I don't mess around with that.
You don't mess around with water.
If you go look in the fridge, there are bottles of water in there.
Oh, well, I don't take those.
You can take them. They're super tall bottles of water.
I'm not a regular.
No, you're family. You go get your bottle of water right now while I'm here.
Wait,
on the bottom shelf.
Is this like the Right Field Lounge kind of family?
Stop. No, there's actual bottles of water if you want one.
Am I going to get flipped off or
you might get that? That might happen anyway.
Okay.
Yeah. Wherever you are in our great state, thanks for joining us here at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. We appreciate you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. Want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffee House and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffee House here in Starkville. Or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. It'd be a little weird, Robbie, if Brupolo was in Basic.
Yeah, and especially when you're talking about coffee, you don't want that basic stuff that you get across the street.
Right.
You got to have that good, there's a little something extra
mm-hmm.
in that Strange Brew coffee. I don't know if it's love.
It's definitely love. It's definitely
crack.
Love.
I don't think it's crack.
It's.
I don't think Shane's doing that.
It's cocaine.
But there's a little something extra in there. You don't need that basic white girl coffee from across the street.
I agree. I agree with you 100%. Wherever you are in our great
some
state.
Some of that, what's Emily's?
The strawberry lemonade fresher.
There you go.
Get you one of those. Wherever you are in our great state, you can enjoy Strange Brew Coffee each and every morning. It's just a click away at strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. The Mississippi Beef Council wants to remind you that beef, it is what's for dinner. If you're cooking out this weekend or any weekend, nothing beats the sizzle of beef on the grill. If you're looking for a great weeknight meal idea, they start with beef. Easy to cook, easy to plan around, and always delicious. Some great ideas for recipes over at msbeef.org, along with a lot of great information about the Mississippi beef industry and how it pumps nearly $500 million a year of agribusiness into our state's economy. Beef, it's what's for dinner, thanks to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com. That's the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you are looking for. And you are looking for it. You need new gear? They've got it at College Corner. Two locations to serve you in the Jackson area, Ridgeland by Fleet Feet, Flowood by the Half Shell. Or you can shop online, collegecornerstore.com. We're about a month away from Mother's Day, 2 months from Father's Day. Those are gift-given holidays. Get set up at College Corner. Restaurant Tyler, Starkville's flagship restaurant for lunch, dinner, or Sunday brunch. The best meal in town is at Restaurant Tyler. We love a lunch at Restaurant Tyler. We love a blue plate. We love catfish and fried chicken. We love cheese grits and butter beans. We love cornbread. Well, we love their cornbread.
Yeah,
you love cornbread.
Well, I'm with you. I'm a biscuit guy.
Okay, all right.
But
I have to hear that.
The sweet potato cornbread.
It's really good.
It's soft. It's buttery.
It's delicious.
It's got some good taste to it. It's not that cornbread that you bite into and your mouth tastes like a desert.
Yeah.
The rest of the day, you will taste that sweet potato cornbread.
It's good.
Along with everything else that you eat.
So do it. Go ahead. Head for lunch today at Restaurant Tyler. Priority One Bank, 16 locations to serve you throughout Central Mississippi. Let PriorityOneBank.com be your guide. They'll show you not only how they're going to help you invest and manage your money, but how they're going to help you prepare for the future. Now more than ever, when you have questions about your money, you need answers. You need them on your schedule, not anybody else's. You need a bank that knows you and knows your money. That's the level of service you get with Priority One Bank. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. Had a great, great weekend.
Are you using a charger over there?
I am, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
We like to have these riveting moments.
Got it?
Of radio
here. Oh, it's over here. It's over here.
Okay.
Yeah. Put that back a little bit for you.
All right.
There you go.
Is that a Lululemon, whatever it's called, charger?
Is it? I have no idea.
I don't know. The symbol kind of looked like it.
Oh, I know. I doubt it.
Yeah. Talk about basic.
I've only been in a Lululemon one time in my life, and I didn't buy
your bathroom.
No, we were taking Emily there, but I did not. I didn't. I bought stuff, but I didn't buy stuff. If that makes sense, you know what I'm saying. So
I walked in there in the store that's in Nashville, and I looked at a pair of pants, and I was like,
yeah, no.
Meh.
Yeah, we went to Denver last year. You know, the trip was for Aislinn. That was her graduation present.
Mm-hmm.
But we were like, we should do something nice for Emily. And they had like this unbelievable mall out there. Let's just put it this way. In the middle of the mall, there was a Bugatti just in there.
Nice.
And I was like, and they had a Lulu. And we walked in and she sees it and her eyes get big. And we're like, go ahead. And so she was very happy. I had a good weekend. I went to the International Fest this weekend. That was fantastic.
Okay.
I ate like eight different cuisines.
I went there. You know, we talked about this last week in the press box because we both thought that
they moved it.
They moved it because of weather.
Yeah.
And I didn't get a chance to go yesterday. I love the International Festival. Going around into the different, and you'll get like Brazilian food, Indian food.
So I got Indian.
Did you get the Brazilian steak skewers?
I got a Persian steak skewer.
Okay. Well, I'm sure that was
with
good.
With rice. Thing. I got a chicken kebab from Pakistan. I got some Dubai chocolate-covered strawberries from India.
Ooh.
I got some pierogies from Russia. My biggest laugh of the weekend was all the Trump memorabilia at the Russia booth. I could not stop laughing at it. I got some chicken biryani from the Malaysian students. I got something
Did
else.
You stop by the Choctaws tent?
I got some fry bread.
Bread.
I got some fry bread, yeah.
They also make the tacos.
I saw them, but I wanted something sweet from them. I had a really good time. It was fun. That's a good festival. I definitely want to check that out. If you like to eat, it's a great festival.
Yeah. Really cool to see the different cultures and stuff. Yeah,
it's cool.
That's definitely a
They also had some guy playing When the Saints Go Marching In on a bagpipe, which was incredible.
That's excellent.
He was tearing it up.
Was it Scotland?
Yeah. So that was cool. I had a good weekend. Mississippi State baseball had a good weekend. Two series in a row. Mississippi State goes over to Alabama and Alabama's lost two series in a row. They're kind of reeling a little bit here.
Yeah.
But they get the Friday game. They get the Sunday game. They could have had the Saturday game. You know, left eight on base in a 4-1 defeat, but
those games happen.
Yeah. So they are now, you know, after dropping that game to South Carolina on Friday, where they would have been, 1-9?
Mm-hmm.
They are now 5-10. They've won five of their last, six.
And six out of eight.
Yeah. And so it's definitely like they're just – it's like somebody who's sick, and they're like, they're getting better, but they're not all the way back just yet. But if they're going to make this, if they're going to make this run to the postseason, they you said last week, like, it's not enough just to win one game. They got to win this series. They did it.
Yep. Now you got to go get two more against Florida. That's the gist now.
I feel like Lou Brown, it's like, yeah, we won a game. If we win another game, that's a winning streak. We got to keep stacking them. Yeah.
Yeah. You're not to the point where you feel really good about this team. You're not to the point where you're locked back in, where you're back on track, anything like that. But you are showing signs of life. And I thought this weekend the team had a little more swagger to it. Now, Saturday was disappointing. You hit the home run to start the game. It was, I think, the fourth pitch, maybe, from Riley Quick.
Yeah.
And did not score another run for the next eight innings. And I thought this game was going to turn out the exact same way.
It was like the Friday South Carolina game.
Yeah.
Where they got up early, and then that was it.
And I think I was in the movie theater full disclosure, this is the last day as we speak on Sunday. This is the last day that I, myself, my wife, and my daughter are a family of three. So today was go to church together, go eat lunch together, go to the movies together. Kind of our last time together is just us three.
Right.
And so I took the day off, so to speak, from just watching every single pitch, but I did keep up with it throughout the movie theater as one would. So I don't know, was Joe Powell just a, was that just a straight change there with Ross Highfield? It wasn't like an injury or
This
anything like that.
weekend?
The Sunday game when
Yeah,
Ross Highfield
I think
came
they
in.
just decided to make a change there. Yeah.
Okay. That was the first like really big like in-game move that Mississippi State's made that I feel like has just has really worked.
We were talking about that prior to the show. We were saying, the first couple of years with Lemonis, it was like every time he made a move, he did a pinch hitter, he changed the pitcher, it always worked.
Yeah.
And he kind of lost that.
And he's a lot of times this year, it's not like for lack of trying to find something else or trying to get, get something to work. He has tried to push so many buttons and they just haven't really worked at times. That one I thought worked. Ross Highfield's been on the bench pretty much for the last 2 weeks. Joe Powell has been State's catcher for the most part. And he comes in the ballgame and gives you a pinch hit home run. That home run was huge. He gave State a little more juice, and then you get a little distance with Ace Reese with the home run in the eighth. And I thought Chase Hungate was fantastic. Nate Williams was really freaking good. State's bullpen. Ben Davis gave up a couple of runs, I think, on Saturday. State's bullpen, I believe, gave up three runs on the weekend, and two of those, I think, were earned. So the bullpen the last 2 weeks has been just lights out. Nate Williams, you got to get him more innings. He's given up a couple of big home runs in the SEC play, but the dude just throws strikes. He did walk a guy, I think, in the eighth inning, and he threw three and a third, no hits, no runs. One walk, four strikeouts. You get seven strikeouts and one walk. And again, we talked about Carson Ligon about 3 or 4 weeks ago. And I told you after that Oklahoma Sunday game, if you get what he gave you against Texas and
You're
Oklahoma,
fine.
you're fine.
Yeah.
He had the one game against LSU that was a disaster, but he comes back last week, pitches the game of his life. And this week, four innings and one unearned run. That is perfect. If you get your Sunday starter to go four innings and
What's
he's given up, less
this
three
is
runs or less.
two Sundays in a row, State's pitched a two hitter.
Yes. Two hits.
That's crazy.
Both of the runs were unearned. They were sacrifice flies.
You think about Sunday baseball in the conference.
And
It's usually like 12 to 11.
they walked three guys.
Yeah.
It's this was a well-pitched weekend for Mississippi State.
Yeah.
Pico was not great. The second straight week, Pico has just not been great. Stone Simmons was fantastic. I thought Saturday was pitched well enough. He gave up four runs in the game and really should have only given up probably two or three. That's good enough. And then this game, you give up two sacrifice flies. This is why State's pitching staff is top five in the league, and they're top five in just about every single category you can imagine. With a pitching staff like this, if this offense starts to really break out, which they did on Friday night, this is a dangerous team. And I've talked about it most of the year. Like, the talent is not a question for Mississippi State this year. I think this is a talented team. I think this is a lineup capable of doing some really good things. And even when they were struggling, I mentioned, like, I just see something in this team. They should be better than this. And it's still a long way to go, but this is still a team that I think is capable of doing big things this year. And that's going to make some people unhappy that are ready for a change. I totally get that. Totally understand that. And the nightmare scenario for those people is Mississippi State barely making the tournament, getting into postseason and going two and done, or getting to a regional final and losing. That's the nightmare scenario for people. Chris Lamont is keeping his job, whatever. But all I know is they have a chance here in the latter part of the schedule to pick up some wins, get to postseason and you see what happens from there. Now, the Gators of Florida are playing a little better baseball. Auburn has the potential to get a sweep against LSU. Ole Miss, as we speak, I think is closing in on a series win against
Let me
Tennessee.
check. I'll check on that for you. I think you're right, though. They were leading the last time I looked.
And Kentucky has gone to the wire with top 10 teams the last 2 weeks.
They ended up losing the series to Texas, but they were in every game.
So the next three opponents are not going to be a cakewalk. But,
Ooh, no, Tennessee leading in the bottom of the sixth, 7-4.
Well, then Tennessee might get that one. I don't
We'll
know.
see.
But Ole Miss is much better than the last 2 years. Auburn is looking really good.
It's gonna be tough.
It's going to be tough, but I know people don't want to hear this, but there's still a case for Mississippi State to get 14, 15 SEC wins. And this was another step in the right direction. And I think what State fans really want is just to win. And if you're winning, I think that cures all the ills that you have in this fan base. There's still going to be some disdain for the head coach with a lot of people in this fan base, but all that really matters is wins and losses, and we'll see if State's able to do that.
I want to hear a stat that blow your mind. It's non-Mississippi State related. So last Friday, Tennessee no hit Texas A&M and run ruled them 10-0, right? Since then, Texas A&M has not lost a game. They've scored 17, I'm sorry, 9, 17, 14, 8, 17, and 15 runs.
Yeah, this is
They
the
are going to be a two seed in somebody's regional that they absolutely do not want to see.
the it's abs it's a absolutely going to be a Texas A&M team that's like going to be red hot going in. It's like they screwed up so much they're not going to host, and then they're going to get in the postseason. They're going to be a problem.
And
But this is
State
a
has that potential too. They
they
have
do
that
they
potential.
do. They're not as talented,
Right.
obviously, as A&M, but they absolutely have that potential. But yeah, this is. That's A&M, and that's the talent that they have. That's why they were picked number one by a lot of people. I didn't think that they should have gotten the benefit of the doubt, and they've proven that. But that is a dangerous team coming up. Another mind-blowing stat that we talked about before we started this: Chris Omonas is now 14-4 against Alabama. And I was looking up the other night, Friday night. I was looking up because I knew that he had pretty much dominated Bama, and State has dominated them since 2016. They've won every series since 2016. That's nine straight. And they have not lost in Tuscaloosa since 2010.
2010 was the name, was the number, yeah.
Mississippi State under Chris Amon is 14-4 against Bama. That's the best record against any other team in the league. He's won 13 against Ole Miss. He's 13-6 against Ole Miss. And he's 12-4, I think, against Auburn. So those are three of your primary rivals. That's a pretty good stretch
Yeah.
for Chris
I mean, he
Amon.
also has what, two series? I mean, I'm not trying to make a case for keeping him. I want to go through that. But yeah, I mean, he has two series wins over LSU.
Yep. Which was very difficult for this
Yeah.
program to do for
Arkansas
him.
has been the only program that he's like.
Arkansas has owned Mississippi State under Chris Amonas. I think he's won like two games against them.
So.
That's been a major bugaboo for him. Let's say Arkansas, he's actually 4-5 against Missouri, by the way. 2-13. Yikes.
That's rough. That's
Three
rough.
and seven against Florida
So,
too. So he's got work
and
to do this
he
weekend.
needs to, yeah. But this Florida team, although they have got, it looks like they've gotten the sweep this weekend with Missouri.
Their
This is,
pitching has been a problem for
it's been an
them.
issue. And you got to feel like, there's going to be good crowds this weekend. The weather's supposed to be nice. You've got spring football this weekend, so people will be on campus.
Got to get two.
You just got to get two. If you get two, and then you're what, you're 6-12?
Seven,
6-11? No.
seven,
You're 7-11.
seven and 11.
You're
Right
in the
back in.
mix. You're
Yep.
right in the mix.
7-11, and then you go to Auburn. And again, you really need to get two there too.
Yeah.
Now, again, you can lose a series. You could probably even lose two series and survive, but the Missouri weekend needs to be a sweep.
Yes.
And then
It's going to come down to Ole Miss.
it probably is going to come down to Ole Miss. So, all that said, it just state showing signs of life here is big. And you're 5-10, you're not gonna host, you're 22-14 overall. You've only really gotten like three good to great wins, like quad one wins. Oklahoma and Alabama. I'm not sure what RPI is right now, but you've essentially gotten three good wins out of 22. So you've got to stack some of those wins, but just showing signs of life and going to win a big series against a top 15 team. I know this Alabama team's kind of falling back to what they really are. I think what they showed early on in the season was not really who they are right now. This is a team that's probably middle of the pack in the SEC. But it's still a quality team, I think, with some really good players at the top of that order. And they have some, Riley Quick might be the most talented pitcher. Him and Cade Anderson are probably the top two. Kyson Weatherspoon's up there, but
Quick is really unfair on a Saturday.
I think he's just kind of been up and down, but the stuff,
It is great.
the slider, the you know he's got a 99 mile an hour fastball with movement. He had stuff that was Friday night caliber and eventual MLB guy stuff. So, they have some guys. They have some dudes. I think the pitching and the bullpen, bringing a guy back from yesterday, the stuff he was throwing up there was just not as sharp as it was the day before, and State took advantage of it.
Yeah. Great series win. I mean, that's all it is. I know a lot of people, you mentioned it. Like, there are a lot of fans right now they're already done, and they're ready to move on to the next thing. And you got to let everything play out. And if Lemonis gets this team into the postseason and they make a little bit of a run, chances are pretty good he's gonna return for another year. Because, Brian Haydad, the athletic director, he doesn't host, probably wouldn't, but I'm not. And they're gonna take the something you said a few maybe last week was, if they do get hot and they end up winning, five of their last six series or something like that, that's gonna get taken into account.
You can't fire him at that point.
Yeah,
You just
it's
can't.
tough. It'll be tough.
I know people don't want to hear that, but you can't. If he, I know he started poorly, and at the end of the day, you kind of are what you are. But if you do get hot here late in the season, he will not. I can't see it. And here's the thing about Mississippi State: if they get into the postseason with on the current pace that they are, where they're throwing like three guys out of the bullpen a weekend, three or four guys out of the bullpen a weekend. These pitchers are fresh, relatively speaking. I mean, this is a team that you don't want to play with the bullpen that they have, and the starting pitching is kind of coming around. You have a Saturday and Sunday starter that are probably going to get you four, maybe five innings tops. But the bullpen is so good, you don't need them to go deep into ball games. State's bullpen has been really good on the whole. And they're not having to throw a lot of guys. They're not throwing guys more than once on a weekend. This is going to be a pretty fresh bullpen by the time you get to
I don't
postseason.
know if you mentioned it. If you said something, I didn't hear it, but
You never do.
stop it. Auburn swept LSU?
Did they win today?
Yeah.
Yeah, they swept them.
Wow. That's a loud, loud statement.
Auburn is a team that a lot of people aren't talking
Well,
about.
it's because every other year, Auburn is a roller coaster. Every other year, like last year, they were terrible. Remember, then they only won a few games in
Yeah,
the
they were not
SEC.
good. But this is like that's how they've been under Butch. They've
Yeah,
been really
they have
bad,
really good
and
and then
then
really good. Yeah, it's crazy.
and that they've been to Omaha twice under
Yeah,
Butch.
but then the next year they'll be awful. They can't stack success.
It's really strange.
Yeah.
But I will say this, in the portal era, he has done a pretty good job of picking up talent. That's why I just didn't understand last year. But yeah, that's a team a lot of people just aren't talking about, but they continue to win against good teams.
Yeah.
So that's a huge,
Huge series.
huge,
And I
huge
said
sweep.
State plays them in Auburn in 2 weeks, so that'll be something to keep an eye on. So
And
this is
their support there has grown. I mean,
I
obviously,
wonder
John
why.
Owen.
I wonder why they're getting so much support.
With John and Rhett there, I mean, they're going to push baseball a little more than
Yeah.
a lot of people do. And Auburn kind of needed that, to be honest with you. I know their fans probably don't care, but their baseball stadium was really like behind the times. And they've what they did to the press box, which they've I mean, I don't like what they've done with the press box. They've moved everyone down to the first base side all the way to the outfield. So
Really?
like it's terrible view, but where their press box is, that little suite they have there, they have a TV in every single seat. It's pretty cool. I saw Rhett in Nashville, and he was showing me some pictures of their stadium, and they really have some really cool premium spots there now. So yeah, they are they're humming right now. They're 25-10, 8-6 in SEC play. So they came in five and well, they don't have the LSU, so they're 9-6. They came in 6-6. It's impressive. LSU's been really good.
Been a lot going on in SEC baseball. It's starting to fluctuate a little
They
bit.
also beat Georgia Tech this week.
They did. They had a really good week. I mean, they won four games against top 25 teams. You can't ask for much more.
Oh, they got swept at Georgia. Forget about that.
So, and then Georgia took the series from Arkansas this weekend.
The
So
SEC's really up and down right
it's
now.
just like basketball. It's just a bloodbath out here. You don't know who's going to do anything. Again, State, if they could have gotten one against Texas, if they could have held on against LSU on the Thursday night, and they would be in the mix here. They would still be in the hosting discussion, I think. But
That's the issue with this team right now is you needed to just get one against
you
LSU and
can't get
Texas.
swept.
You cannot get swept. Get one against LSU and Texas, and they should have won the series against Oklahoma.
Yeah, they had the game on
And
Saturday won.
I mean, that's three more games. You're sitting here at 8-7 right now,
I mean,
or
you're in the
eight
hosting
and
discussion. Because if they're 8-7 right now, you and I are looking at this going, okay, they've got Florida. They'll beat them. They can beat Ole Miss. They'll certainly beat Missouri. They'll beat Kentucky. They're probably going to finish with like 18 wins. They're going to host. But because you don't do that, it's going to be a stretch to get into the postseason. You still have a lot of work to do.
That is your that that's the hold up of it all right now is if they just had just not gotten swept in those two series, that you can't get swept.
Especially at home.
But
The
like
Texans at home, you can't get swept at home.
and that's why they need to find a sweep in here somewhere, and that's hard to imagine, but
Mean, Missouri gives you an opportunity to get one,
yeah,
but you need another one,
you
really.
really need to, but I mean it's hard to.
Kentucky, maybe. I mean, I can't. The other two, Florida. Florida's record would make you think you could do it, but I know they're a talented team. And then I'm not going to sit there and tell you they're going to sweep Ole Miss.
Well,
So.
you got Kentucky and in Florida
And Ole
and
Miss.
Ole Miss at home.
Yeah, it's your three remaining
That
home series.
you got to take care of business at
You
home,
got to win those series.
and then you go on the road to Auburn. You need to win one. You go on the road to Missouri. You really need to take all three. You do those things. If you win the series against Ole Miss, Florida, and Kentucky, you win all three of those series. Six more wins. Nine if you add in the Missouri, and then 10. With all of a sudden you're sitting there with 15 wins in conference play, and that's I think a lot of people would take that.
I agree with you. I agree with you. All right, let's move into the rest of the show that's brought to you by our friends over. Go get a bottle of water. I'm going to go get it for you. You don't stop this. Our friends over at Two Brothers Smoked Meats and the Older Brother. I ate at the Older Brother on Friday. Had lunch with my daughter, Aislinn, and it was fantastic. And great to see that place thriving. Every time you go in there's somebody sitting there. And I had to tell, I told Aislinn, this used to be Two Brothers. She was like, how did that work? Like it didn't really. That's why they had to build the new one.
You just had to
So
hope and pray you could get in there and get a seat.
I'm just going to tell you, if the older brother continues at the pace it's at, they're going to have an older brother like that soon enough in the Cotton District as well. Two great, great restaurants.
An
When you're,
older brother?
yes, the middle, they'll have the middle brother at that point.
Yes.
Well, so they'll figure it out. They'll figure it out. Two Brothers Smoked Meats. And the Older Brother, two of our favorite restaurants in the city of Starkville. Great products, great service. Every business likes to promise it to you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems. That's what they've been doing for 50 years.
To
It's like you glitched.
today, Junior.
You got like the max headroom thing going, if anybody knows who that is.
I'm going to be feeling 50 after I have a second child at the age of 35.
It's coming. Yeah. How old was I? I was 34 when Emily was born. So.
Okay. We're about the same path. I'll be 36 in June, so.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel terrible and have every day of my life since.
I'm excited.
As you should be. And I'd be excited if I needed business technology, and I would call Advantage Business Systems, and they would bring me a copier. The same way the Stork is bringing you a baby, Advantage Business Systems will bring you a copier or a printer. The good news is if your baby gets hurt, you just got to take them to the doctor. You've got to take them there. If your copier gets broken, they'll come to you. It's a terrible analogy now that I think about it. But regardless of all that, Advantage Business Systems, 601-362-9192. You look dead. You went pale.
There was a I was checking in on the Ole Miss Texas game, and there was a fat frat guy in the outfield with a
Tennessee?
Shirt off. Texas. Tennessee and Ole Miss, yeah.
Okay, yeah. There was a fat frat guy, and I would almost guarantee, I'd bet money that his Twitter account has a picture of Pete Golding.
Yes.
601-362-9192 or visit them online, absms.com. Find out how Advantage Businesses will help your business do business. Next time you're in Starkville and you need MSU gear, the place to go is Maroon & Co. Check out their incredible selection. Nobody in Starkville with a bigger or better selection of Mississippi State gear than our friends at Maroon & Co. And best of all, you can save some money when you go. Use our promo code THUNDER15 to save 15% off your purchase. Regular price items only. Some exclusions will apply. Whatever you're looking for, maroon and white, if you're in Starkville, the place to get it is at Maroon & Co. Let's do a little baseball transfer portal news, and we'll start with the basketball transfer portal news. Thank you. Texas, basketball, it's all the same. Let's start with the guy that Mississippi State fans are hoping will return to Mississippi State, and that's Keyshawn Murphy. You had a report on 3 that you felt like some things were going Mississippi State's way. That was on Friday, I believe. Mm-hmm. Now it's Sunday. Has that changed for you in any way?
Yeah, the mood's kind of shifted a little bit based on the people that I've talked to. Friday night, I was talking to some sources. He was on campus. He had been on campus since, I believe, Wednesday, which was when he entered the transfer portal, at least when he gave his intentions to enter the transfer portal.
Mm-hmm.
And he had been – we discussed this when it happened, but he had been around some former players at Mississippi State. And I think there was a lot of conversations about, hey, you need to see what you can get mm-hmm. in the portal, or you need to see who's interested, things like that. And so he actually was not in Starkville for, you know, a week or two.
Mm-hmm.
He gets back to Starkville. He's spending a lot of time around Josh Hubbard, around the Mississippi State staff. They're having some good conversations with him. He was staying in the building a good portion of the days. And, you know, the vibes were really good. He was actually on the visit with Conroy, who was here from Troy, taking a visit. He was on the visit with him, was around Josh Hubbard. And as of Friday night, things were going really well. But I think that's – I'm not saying it's over by any stretch, mm-hmm. but I think that there's certainly some, you know – I don't think anybody feels great about Keyshawn Murphy returning at this point.
Okay.
Could still happen, but I don't think anything's set in stone at this point. But there's certainly a shift in that thought process. Auburn is emerging, I think, as a team that could be in the picture with him.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll see how it goes. I mean, Mississippi State is certainly not just sitting on their hands here waiting on him.
Right.
Chris Jans, I think, is actively looking for power forwards. Mm-hmm. And we talked about it the other day. Like, I would go out there and go find a stretch four at this point.
Right.
Like, you obviously you want Keyshawn Murphy.
Mm-hmm.
You feel really good about your team having him back in the fold. But you can be a better team, at least as far as the style of play, with a stretch four caliber type of style forward.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I would do, personally. But
we talked about that, you know, last week, and I tend to agree with you that, you know, if you can't, if you want to bring Murphy, if Murphy comes back, build your team in a way that it's strong defensively,
bullying some people
it's
down
very there. Efficient offensively inside the 3-point line. Go get a good three pointer for the winger, that three spot. Let him and Hubbard do that. Give you some 3-point shooting off the bench too. But build yourself like that. And if you can, but if you can't get Murphy back, yes, I agree. You should go out and try to find a four who gives you a little bit more spacing. You've got a big, strong guy in Ballard to man the paint. I think T. Bartlett is going to be a guy who comes in as a freshman and gives you a lot because physically, I think he can handle the load. But you've also got other positions to fill. State had what, three visitors on campus this weekend, two guards, Conaway from Troy, Council from St. Bonaventure,
Yes.
and then Washington from, where's he from?
Wichita State,
Wichita
Troy
State. So
Washington.
another Wichita State guy.
Yes.
That I will say this, that concerns me a little. Two guys from a NIT team. I don't know. Just
Well, they both
off
were
the top of my
productive.
head, you know.
Well, yeah, I mean, you kind of just have to use your discretion when you look
Yeah.
at them and kind of see the style of player that they are. Ballard especially, I mean, I don't have any concerns about him.
Have any concerns about him. I don't have concerns about one.
I think Washington is the more iffy of the takes,
Yeah.
but his numbers were fine. He averaged 14 points and 8 rebounds a game. So,
Then we got the word from on threes, I guess it was Joe Tipton, that the Florida State big man Malik Ewen will be visiting here this week as well.
Yeah, which,
That's a big get if you can swing that guy.
yeah, it would be for sure. And what's his role with his team? 6'11". He's not really a stretch guy at
Well,
all.
his role is then Van Jans is doing
You're just
what
going to be two big guys in the post.
he's doing what you the opposite of what we said. He's just like, no,
Go with the bigger
I'm gonna go
guy.
big physical and just have
Yeah.
guys who can get points down low, which I don't necessarily mind.
It's fine. I don't know. I would just I he's obviously had a way different mindset on this than a lot of people in the fan base that have wanted to stretch it out and spread the floor a little more with their offense. But I also don't I think he really hated the fact that Mississippi State was not a poor rebounding team, but at times like an inefficient rebounding team.
They gave up. There were games where their rebounding killed. Arkansas is the one that
Yeah.
stands out to me immediately.
And I think late in the season, especially, they just were really poor rebounding team against teams that outworked them. They were bigger than Baylor, and they got outworked on the boards. And I think
Yeah,
those kind
that
of
was the
games,
bad one. Yeah.
those kind of games haunted Chris Chance.
Yeah.
Like the fact that they didn't defend the 3-point line, I can promise you, kept him from sleeping most nights.
So I'm gonna give you a. I actually have a personal story anecdote that I can relate to here.
Okay.
All right. So my first 2 years in high school, we ran Power I. We were a two tight end, run the football team. We weren't very successful, but that was our identity. All right. Going into my junior year, our head coach came up with a new offense that was, it wasn't the run and shoot. It was kind of like when you played NCAA, do you remember Flexbone?
Yes.
Sort of like that, where you would bring a guy in motion and we'd run a lot of option. And we won the first game. And then the next two games, we got murdered, just absolutely killed. And we were sitting there after the third game. We come out to we're doing the post game, like take a knee, I'm going to speak. And he just looks at us, and he just looks at us all and goes, F this. We're going back to Power I on Monday.
It goes back to what you know.
And we won, we finished up the season successfully. At that point. And I think Jans has had a moment like there. He's like, I'm not losing. I'll lose, but I won't lose like this again. I'm not losing these games where I can't get a stop when I need one. I can't get a rebound when I need one. My guys are just leaving these wide open shooters. I won't lose like this anymore.
Yeah. And I think my thoughts on that is like, you can have, there's got to be some kind of like happy medium there.
Yeah.
Like from what you saw in the first 2 years and what you saw this year. Like I think he had the right idea with the offensive piece, like doing more offensively. They weren't super efficient,
He
but
didn't
they but
expect those guys to be as bad defensively.
yes. But you can't, you didn't have the defense, and
Right.
that's the issue. Like how can you get a good defensive team to also be efficient offensively?
Yeah.
Some 3-point shooters that are also going to be able to defend. That's kind of what you're looking for here. And So far, the players he's going after in the portal don't really fit that,
Yeah.
but they're also going back to where they were defensively. I feel like
Yeah.
with the players he's going after, Council and Connor would really defend.
Yeah.
And they are scorers. They can
They're
get to
just
the
not
rim.
three guys.
Right. And I'm kind of like one of those people, like, if you can find ways to score, I'm good with it. I think you do need some players that can knock down threes.
I agree with the premise that people are saying that if you can't hit threes, you have a ceiling on your team.
Yes.
I totally agree with that. But you can also be a team that frustrates good 3-point shooting teams into making mistakes.
Yeah,
And
like your defense needs to be able to travel. You need to be able to, like, you're known for what you can do
yeah.
defensively, and then you do what you can offensively to go find ways to win games. That's
Yeah.
kind of what you're looking for if you're not a great 3-point shooting team. If you're not going to shoot the three ball well, I at least want to be able to defend.
Yeah.
If I can defend
I'll tell you,
and I can find a way to score.
I can't have neither. That's what Sid had
Yeah.
last year. They had neither.
There were
So.
games where they absolutely just didn't do either one.
Yeah, and, yeah. So, yeah, I'd rather have if I can only have one, and defense is the easier one to have.
I need the defensive piece locked down,
Agreed.
and then we'll find ways to score.
Yeah. All right, tomorrow's show, we got to start talking some more spring football. We got spring football previews. We've already got the Oklahoma preview done, so we'll have that on tomorrow's show. And then we'll get South Carolina and Tennessee done. Tennessee, I'm glad we didn't do it a couple weeks ago because it would be totally different now
Yeah.
after the what's gone on there. So we'll have all that this week. More baseball, more basketball, plenty to talk about here on Thunder and Lightning. Guys, have a great Monday. Back with you on Tuesday for Robbie Falk. Oh, wait, real quick. Robbie obviously will not be on tomorrow's show because Robbie is going to the hospital tomorrow, and he and his lovely wife Becky will have their second child. So we wish you all the best in that. Can't wait to find. We don't know what it is. I don't know if people are aware of this or not, this saga, but y'all have purposely not found out the gender of this child until now.
Which used to be a thing for everybody.
Oh, yeah, everybody just popped out like, oh, hell, had a boy.
Yeah. And now it never happens hardly, but
Yeah.
you have everybody has the
I'm going to.
gender reveals. My gender reveal is going to be at whenever
The
they
doctor
hand it to me.
says it's a
When they hand it to me.
what you don't know. I'm going to go in. I guess I'm going to spoil this, but I'm actually prepared. I'm going to run in there with a bag of confetti, whatever color I need at the moment.
Pop the
Yeah.
confetti.
Like, yes. So.
What would be your gender reveal? Like, what would be your thing? Like, you bite into a or you cut a steak and it's blue or pink on the inside?
Get my steak blue or is it medium rare?
Yeah.
That's my choice there. That's
So
what I would do.
it would be either really, really rare
Yeah.
or it would be medium or
Yeah.
something like that.
I agree with that. So, yeah, that's something where that's an idea. My better idea is not to have any more kids. That's my idea.
Well,
I'm kind of done with
that's
that
true.
at this point. If I had a kid today, I would be 68 when it graduated high
Oh,
school.
Lord.
So, I'm out. Call me crazy. I'm out. So, all
Yeah.
right, guys, have a great one. We'll talk to you again soon. For Robbie Falk, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder Lightning here on Super Talk, Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.